When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Soccer Matters.
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, remate de gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Oribe!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Don't forget, this weekend it is the Houston Dynamo in action in the playoffs against the, not the Portland Timbers. We've already disposed of them. It's Real Salt Lake and Pablo Mastroeni coming in. Joining us now, courtesy of LamontBrands.com. That's where you get Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats, all to benefit the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation. Former U.S. international, currently in Apple TV. Broadcaster Marcelo Balboa. Marcelo, thanks for coming on.
Buddy, I was excited. I thought you were going to say Lamar Donuts. We were sponsored by Lamar Donuts. I was like, let's go.
I hear you. All right, so we got some playoffs. I want to run through a number of topics here, Major League Soccer.
Okay.
But I first want to just toss out to you, give me two of the biggest storylines in your mind this year in the league. Could be anything. Could be a player, could be a coach, could be a team.
Let's see. Danny Bowanga, I think, is huge after what LAFC did last year, not playing as a nine. That's what gets me. He's not a number nine. He's a seven or an 11, a winger who has scored 20 goals on a season. So I think that's a huge storyline. Number two, I'm not even going to touch the playoffs. LA Galaxy not making the playoffs and having to rebuild again. And really, I think everybody's waiting to see what they do, because if not, there's another job on the line.
Marcelo Balboa joining us. All right. So that's a perfect segue, Marcelo, into the teams that didn't make the playoffs. And I'm going to say this, and I say this respectfully, some bad teams made the playoffs because there are 18 spots available. So I say it respectfully. Look, we're here to analyze. We're not here to hold back.
Do I want to ask you which ones you think shouldn't be there?
Well, I would go to 8 and 9, but actually Sporting Kansas City, I would be a little bit different on them. They've risen after a really rough start, and that's because of, you know, Peter Vermes. But look, here are the teams that didn't make it this year: Montreal, New York City FC, DC, Chicago, Miami, and Toronto. All right. I mean, there's unbelievable stories and expenditures with some of those teams. Portland doesn't win out. Minnesota, Austin, LAFC, Colorado. Which one of those teams that I just mentioned jumps out to you as maybe the biggest epic fail not making the playoffs? Because look, 63% of the teams make the playoffs. You don't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that's rough. And you should be held to the fire.
I'm going to say this. Every single team that didn't make the playoffs should be held accountable for what happened this year. I'll put even Miami, because if they wouldn't have brought in Messi, Jordi, and Busquets, they would have been the last place team. They'd have been worse than Toronto. Am I wrong? Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, they got a major boost from those.
They got a major boost from those guys. They
unfortunately, it wasn't really an MLS because at that point, I think gas ran out.
Buddy, a trophy is a trophy, and I think they put all their energy into that tournament, which is great. Winning a trophy and winning League's Cup is opens got a lot of doors for them next year, and we know they're going to retool. But there's a bunch of teams that I would be concerned about, and only because if they decide to jack up the salary cap another $2 to $3 million, if they decide to add another international slot, some of these teams don't use those slots. So they could be left behind even more. So, but I would think for me, it always goes back to the giant on the hill. LA Galaxy, with all the championships they did, they have a lot of pressure. They were the team that everybody thought was going to make the playoffs. The players they brought in, what happened with Chris Klein, injuries here and there. I think I don't give them a bye. I just gave them a little bit more rope, and that rope is very thin right now for the LA Galaxy.
Think Greg Vanney returns?
Greg Vanney returns, but I think if there happens to be a slow start, if they're not in a playoff position by All-Star game, I think we could see some changes there quickly.
Chicago continues to be in a real struggle. They got a star player there in a DP in Shaqiri, but they still continue to struggle in a great soccer market.
And they got to find a coach, though. I think knowing Frankie, I know Frankie took the job. I'm not sure Frankie wants to be a head coach the whole time. So I think they need to, and they're interviewing for head coaches. So I think they need to find a head coach, and I think they just need to find the right players to go around your stars. But for me, it always starts with the right coach that brings in the right mentality that can change the culture. And we saw what Steve Cherundolo did at LA. We've seen what a few coaches have done along the league. Look what Lucci has done for San Jose. So I think bringing the proper coach for that organization and the right players is something they got to get right this year.
All right, Lucci and San Jose. Does San Jose deserve to be in the playoffs? I know they do based on where they ended up record-wise, but really, as a team?
Yes.
They just seem to hover around the same level every year.
You know what?
They platform.
But Glenn, but the problem is for the last 4 years with Almeida, we've seen them go up, we've seen them go down. We've seen them go up, and we've seen them go down. In order to have a chance to make the playoffs, you got to be consistent. You've got to be steady. And he's steadied the ship. He's changed their mentality. They're playing with a little bit more joy. They're playing with a little bit more structure. And when you do that, you can fight to get into the playoffs. And that's what Lucci's brought to that group. I'm not saying Lucci's going to win a championship with San Jose, but they've settled the ship, and now they can get maybe a few better rowers that can help row this boat a little quicker up down the stream. And that's what I think Lucci has done to that group. He's done a nice job.
He's Marcelo Balboa joining us, former U.S. international. Okay, so we mentioned all these teams that didn't make the playoffs, and I want to make it very clear here that, you know, we just can't bag on coaches, right? We have to look at the overall ownership of those
players,
groups.
Players, owners, everything.
And say to ourselves, are they really investing in their team? Are they really competing? And do they believe in meritocracy, or are they just, you know, parking themselves there and hoping a coach is going to work magic with maybe a roster that isn't a big, you know, isn't a big expenditure, and we put on a good face? I think there's a lot of those teams, and I think Houston's a great example of a change in ownership, more investment in players and staff, and things have come good here for now, and they look like a dangerous team heading into the playoffs. Toronto FC, huge investment in the team, and an absolute nightmare of a season.
No, but I think I'll say it anyway. I think they made a bad choice in hiring Bob Bradley at the beginning of the year. Okay. And I say that because there comes a point where you need fresh ideas. You need to modernize the game a little bit. And I don't think he did that. I think now they've steadied the ship. They've got themselves a coach for the future. He's going to turn that team around. I could see that team going from worst team in MLS to a playoff team next year and possibly fighting for maybe a Leagues Cup, maybe a U.S. Open Cup. I'm not going to say an MLS Cup because I don't know what players are going to bring in yet, but I think they're going to do something special. I think Michael Bradley retiring, he's had a great career. I think that's going to open up a big salary spot for them to go get some players. So I think they have the best opportunity to turn this thing around quickly.
All right. John Herdman, though, who's going to become the coach. Remember, he's never coached a team on a daily basis at this level. He's been national team women's in Canada, national team men. And we all know there's a big difference in coaching national teams and doing a team on a daily basis.
Yeah, but Glenn, you coached women and you won. You were successful. Were you not? Silver medal, all these gold. Then he takes over the men. And how long since 1986 they qualified for the World Cup? And not in second place, not in third place. They were the best team in CONCACAF, my friend. Now, if you can transition from men to men in MLS coaching every day, it's just another extension of what he does every day. So now it's just a matter of finding the right players. So I think he's proven he could coach at every level. So now why not MLS?
Okay. I'm just saying it's a different animal. That's all.
I agree.
All right. So let's move on. We're talking to Marcelo Balboa here. We got Sporting Kansas City and San Jose on Wednesday.
Yeah.
As much as I know you're pushing Lucha Gonzalez, I'm picking Sporting Kansas City at home with Peter Vermes.
I'm neutral. I have no dog in the fight. So I think San Jose is playing well.
Wait a minute, you're an analyst. You can't be neutral.
Sure, I can. My team got knocked out of the playoff a month and a half ago. You know what I mean? So I think Peter's done a nice job, and I think people who were asking for Peter Vermes to be fired at the beginning of the year are probably a little embarrassed right now, because we all know what Peter can do. We know what kind of coach Peter is, and we know he'll find a way to turn things around. And he did. And he got him back on the board. He got him a home game and the wild card game. I think they're going to be very difficult to beat at home, especially, you know how every year you find that one team that wins that one key game that gets you into the playoffs and then they make a run. I think that Sporting KC could be that team in the West.
Yeah, they're dangerous. I consider them a dangerous animal like the Houston Dynamo. And if they, the winner of that game, Sporting Kansas City and San Jose, will get St. Louis, which is a remarkable story as an expansion team.
Yep.
Does anybody have a better pressing game than St. Louis City?
That's a good question. I'm thinking of the teams in the playoffs.
I'll tell you what, RSL, you know, we all have small sample sizes. We're not watching 14, 15 games a weekend.
No.
But I saw them come into Houston and do something to the Dynamo that hadn't happened all year, and that was dominate them for the first 25 minutes of the first. The Dynamo could not get out of their own half because of their pressing game. It was highly impressive.
They're dangerous now because Klaus is back. They're a very dangerous team. I think RSL does a nice job of pressing. They do a really nice job of pressing and pushing. But listen, you can press as much as you want, but if you can't finish, you're not going to win games. So that's, I think, where they struggled a little bit against Seattle. They kind of hit a hiccup, St. Louis, right before they hit the playoffs with Seattle. So that can either motivate you or it could, you know what I mean? I think the nerves of playing the first game in St. Louis could be interesting. I'm excited for that group, but I think St. Louis, for me, is the biggest surprise of the year because I didn't know much about them. I didn't know what they had. And now you look at the way they play. Now they got Klaus back. This is a healthy team. They can make some noise in this playoff race.
Glad you brought him up because they made great signings right up the middle of the team. Roman Berkey in goal, as good as there is in MLS. Edward Leuven in midfield, and then Klaus as a center forward. So I think you're right on there. Houston Real Salt Lake. Real Salt Lake is really beat up.
I'm going to say what I said yesterday. We did the LAFC podcast with Max Barreto. I'll be shocked if Houston doesn't reach MLS Cup this year. They are playing some of the most attractive soccer. They seem to be riding on a different wave right now, Glenn. They're smiling. They're playing with a lot of confidence. I would be very surprised if Houston. I have them in Cincinnati, I believe I put in the final. for MLS Cup. Actually, I take that back. I had Houston and Orlando in the final. So yeah, that's how good I think they are right now, Houston.
Yeah, and having watched them very, very closely, obviously being a commentator, everything has fallen together. They have momentum now. They have confidence. They're playing for each other.
No big injuries, which is huge. No big injuries to the starting 11.
So. Got a nice break. Yeah. And they got the MVP of the league, in my opinion, in Hector Herrera, with all due respect to Buanga. All right, LAFC in Vancouver. Speaking of Buanga, it's got to be LAFC for me.
I got to be honest with you. I said it yesterday, too. I think this game, all three games will go to PKs. I think it's that tight of a race because Vela can't push your back line further back. You know what I'm saying? As a center forward, he's playing as a nine. So that means the two center backs can squeeze in a little bit more. And that could press LA and make it difficult for them. But when you do that, the ball over the top, which we've seen LAFC do quite a bit, a very direct ball to Bawanga over the top with Bogus in the midfield with Ilya Sanchez. I said yesterday, to me, the key will be Ilya Sanchez. And I'll tell you why. Because if Ilya Sanchez sits and plays as a free defender in front of the two center backs, that's going to leave room for Vancouver to play, and you don't want Vancouver to play through the midfield. If Ilya steps up and marks a little bit and helps mark in that midfield, I think LA will win the series.
Ryan Gold and Brian White have to come good for Vancouver, and I don't think people are afraid of LAFC. Like, I mean, before, people were terrified of LAFC.
Yeah.
I don't think so anymore. Okay, we got to put this in overdrive. Seattle-Dallas. I don't know who the fulcrum of Dallas is. Don't tell me it's Jesus Ferreira because he's their center forward.
No. Yeah.
And Seattle's got the wise old man and Brian Schmetzer.
You know what? Dallas has always given Seattle a hard time. If there's going to be an upset, it could be in that. But I think Seattle rides that one and gets into the next round.
All right. Eastern Conference, Red Bulls and Charlotte. I mean, for me,
Red Bulls and Red Bulls.
Aesthetically good watch for me. I don't like watching either of these teams.
Red Bull at Red Bull Arena. I can see them pulling out the high pressing octane that they like to do. I could see them pulling off a 1-0 win and moving on to the next round.
Okay, so two average teams there, in my opinion. One of them, though, will have the ability to get FC Cincinnati, which under Pat Noonan is an amazing story.
Great story. I got to do their game against Atlanta. But I'll tell you this, though. In transition, they're wide open. In transition, playing three in the back. They've got caught quite a few times from Atlanta. And the only reason I don't think Atlanta could have probably won that game is because Almada, like a knucklehead, kicks Dominic Baggi off the ball and gets a second yellow card. Now Atlanta plays with 10 players. I think Atlanta will be a team that's going to be very dangerous in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you brought up the former Rapid. Dominic Baggi, who has been on a few teams in MLS. And Pace will get you contracts, I think, right?
Very much so.
And by the way, you brought up Thiago Almada. And, of course, he is a part of the Columbus-Atlanta series. By the way, Almada with 19 assists led Major League Soccer. That's a great matchup right there, those two teams.
Yeah, I think both are very attractive the way they play, the way they knock it around. And all Atlanta has to do is go get a result. Just go find a result in Columbus, and you can take it back home. They're difficult to play at home. Mercedes-Benz Stadium, it will be packed. So that one, to me, is a toss-up. Either team could win, and there's no upset there.
Let's go to Philadelphia and New England. Philadelphia also, I don't know if they have the same bite as they did last year. And then New England had the controversy with Bruce Arena being removed as the coach and kind of they cleaned house up there. How do you see that one?
Even, to be honest with you, I did Philadelphia a few weeks ago. They're struggling a little bit in transition moments. When you look at New England, I think the burden of not having Bruce Arena, we know what Bruce can do on the sideline, the way he reads the game, the way his subs are made, that it could be difficult for New England. But I can see Philadelphia winning that series.
By the way, I heard Bruce Arena lobbied the league to apply for the job at DC. Any thoughts on that? I still think we need some wise old men coaching teams in Major League Soccer. They do it in South America. Why can't we do it here?
Well, here's my problem, Glenn. I don't know what happened with Bruce and New England. We haven't heard every story. But you know what? It's nothing like Bruce Arena going back to DC and trying to turn that program around. They need a little bit of help. I think Bruce is good for the league. I love his crappy attitude sometimes, the way he talks to people. And let's be honest, he's so grumpy sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
But you're right. It's nice to have a guy that's a veteran like that coaching in this league.
Yes. Yeah, I hope he's back. Orlando and Nashville and Oscar Perea continuing to do great things against Gary Smith, who you know very well from his time in Colorado.
I know both. I'm fortunate enough. I think this is Oscar's year. I think we've seen Oscar do well getting to a conference semifinal, getting here. I think this is the year that he has to push that envelope over the top and push that cart over the top of the hill and get to a final with the group he has. He's got a good group. He's in second place. There's not a lot of people paying attention to him, but we all know the crafty Nashville low block, hit the long ball into Mukhtar and see what they can create. So I think the hardest series is the Orlando Nashville game. I think that's going to be very, very, very difficult for both teams.
Some great matchups. It's been a great year in Major League Soccer. Marcelo, as always, thank you for coming on. That was fun volleying those games around and getting some comments in or around all these teams. Great stuff. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. Former U.S. International Marcelo Balboa. Also, he knows a little bit about the run to the MLS Cup, getting there with the Colorado Rapids back in the day. We'll take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Big reminder here. Great soccer watching pub. It's Hugh O'Connor's pub. It's out on I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Go in there and say hello to Dave and Goose. Big whiskey offering, big beer offering. They got all the pub food. And by the way, it's got that kind of real pub feel to it. And it's nice and clean too, which is sometimes not always what you get with a good pub. But a big thank you to Hugh O'Connor's pub. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. We got a lot more to go.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, our next guest on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, patrolling the midfield for the Houston Dynamo and Panama. He's been capped 50 times by the Panamanian national team. We've really enjoyed his play here in Houston, and he's scoring goals and laying on assists as of late. Coco Carrasquilla joins us now. Well, Coco, let's just talk about the significance of the road win in Portland to get home field advantage to you and the guys.
Fue un partido muy importante porque nos da esa localía para jugar la fase de playoff, y yo creo que va a ser muy importante ahora iniciar de casa, y si hay un tercer partido, terminar en casa. Creo que es lo más importante.
Puts us in a great position, Glenn, in terms of just giving us that home field advantage. I think when you look at various victories throughout the year that kind of put us in this path, it paves the way to hopefully be the start of a significant and important playoff run.
Speak about the momentum the team has and the distinctive nature of a really defined playing style.
No, yo creo que muy contento y feliz por cómo está jugando el equipo. Y nos da mucha tranquilidad de que nuestro estilo, si no lo cambiamos, podemos llegar muy lejos.
I think, long story short, if we keep doing what we do and if we play the way we play, I fully believe that we're going to go a long way. I think it's a joy to be able to play in the way that we have. So I'm glad that everyone's been able to enjoy it. But that's the key. The key for us is to continue doing what we're doing.
He's Coco Carrasquilla, Houston Dynamo midfielder. Coco, I think the fans, I think everybody on the outside, I certainly see that you guys are having a lot of fun playing the type of football that you play. Is that important in the game of soccer, that the type of football you play can lead to enjoyment?
Claro, claro, sí. Yo creo que el estilo de juego con la que estamos jugando es de mi gusto. Entonces creo que al final cuando te gusta algo lo disfrutas, y este año ha venido acompañado de muchas cosas positivas, muchos partidos ganados, y es lo que no tiene hoy en la fase de playoff con la localía y con un ánimo diferente a que podemos llegar lejos.
Absolutely, Glenn. I mean, I think you see it on the field in terms of how much we enjoy what we're doing out there. So It plays a big role. It plays a big role in terms of just how we approach what we want to do, because we definitely enjoy being on the field and do what we do in the manner that we do. So when we look at what we've been able to achieve, there's a lot there in terms of just how the joy kind of gives us that extra nudge to kind of go forward.
We're talking to Dynamo midfielder Coco Carrasquilla. Just got his 50th cap for Panama. Coco, is it difficult for you playing a different position in midfield with Panama, then coming back to the Dynamo and maybe a higher midfield position? Is that difficult to make the change?
No, la verdad, yo creo que es diferente posición, pero el estilo de juego es muy parecido, y con la confianza que me ha dado Ben y la continuidad de siempre hablarme en esta posición diferente, creo que me ha ayudado a crecer, a probar cosas diferentes, y sí que es una posición diferente, pero también me la estoy disfrutando, estoy jugando para seguir aprendiendo, y creo que eso es lo que me ha dado buenos resultados en esa posición, que simplemente me disfruto cada momento.
Different positions, Glenn, yes, but I think Ben gives me the freedom to navigate the space here. And I think when we look at kind of what I've been able to, how I've been able to learn and kind of grow as a player, a lot of it comes from being challenged to be in two different roles in different environments. But when I'm here, fully aware of what my responsibilities are, and the added plus is that freedom that I get to kind of go up and down.
Does that give you an additional confidence, Coco, in the fact that, you know, you are playing distinctively different roles in the Dynamo midfield and in Panama's midfield?
Sí, con el Houston, desde que empecé a jugar en esta nueva posición, mi mentalidad solamente fue, quiero aprender en esa posición, quiero dar lo mejor de mí. Y con la selección de Panamá, cuando llego, conozco la posición, sea el estilo que juega también mis compañeros allá. Entonces, prácticamente, es nomás seguir trabajando para seguir mejorando, pero sí que sé separar y sé diferenciar ambas posiciones y cómo afrontarla de manera diferente en cada, tanto en el club como en la selección.
Glenn, I know how to separate the two in the sense of it's a very defined style with Panama, in the sense of I know what my responsibilities are, and I've known my teammates for a considerable amount of time. So that helps in terms of just kind of going back and forth, because it's a different group. So my mindset's pretty clear. When I'm with that group, this is how I'm going to approach the game. While the difference here is that I have a little more freedom, and I'm able to go with it with an open or a different perspective, one where I want to learn, I want to grasp the new responsibilities and the different challenges that kind of come with this different role. So two different sets of approaches, but able to navigate both pretty swiftly.
Is it exciting for you, Coco, to know that you're adding some additional things to your game?
Sí, la verdad que contento por cómo he enfrentado esta nueva posición y por los resultados positivos que me ha dado esta temporada. Creo que me da la confianza de que puedo seguir aprendiendo, de que cada día se va mejorando en diferente posición. Y sí que me da mucha alegría y me da esa satisfacción de que sí puedo jugar en otra posición diferente que de número 8.
Gives me a lot of confidence, Glenn, in that I can continue to keep growing as a player. I think when you look at the success we've had this year, some of it's been a product of my development as a player. So I think that's definitely played a role. And as a player overall, you definitely want to continue growing and experiencing new things. So I welcome it. I welcome the ability to continue to grow as a player and continue developing.
He's Dynamo midfielder Coco Carrasquilla, head of the Dynamo. 5:00, Shell Energy Stadium. They will take on Real Salt Lake. First of, it could be potentially 3 games. But it also could be 2 in the MLS playoffs. Coco, you're adding now the goals, the assists, the end product. You always get into great positions. What's the difference now from earlier in the year to now, where you're scoring goals and you're laying on the final pass for others?
No, creo que la única diferencia es la confianza, que me he atrevido y he mejorado en esperar el momento perfecto, no siempre querer dar el último pase. Y creo que eso va un poco también de la mano con el estilo de juego que estamos jugando. Pero sí que siempre fue mi intención tratar de marcar goles, de dar pases, asistencia. Creo que esa es la intención de mi juego, lo que estoy mostrando ahora. Pero siempre hay que seguir mejorando y mantener los momentos buenos para seguir creciendo.
But I'd say the only thing notable is just the confidence, the ability to kind of go out there and do, you know, what we've been able to accomplish this year. So it kind of leads to my progression this year. So really the only big difference is just the confidence, both as a player and then from the staff to go out and perform as I do.
Coco, speak to us about Hector Herrera and, you know, guys like Eric Sviatchenko and Artur that are very experienced and how much their influence means to the team and maybe to some of the younger players like yourself.
No, creo que ha sido fundamental la experiencia que han puesto dentro del equipo y la manera como llevan o cómo manejan el equipo. Creo que siempre todos, tanto los jóvenes como los de experiencia, quieren lo mejor para el equipo y buscamos siempre mejorar para que el equipo gane. Y creo que esa es la diferencia que se ha notado en el grupo y es lo que nos ha dado resultado hasta el día de hoy.
It's been essential, Glenn. I think when you look at the contributions those individuals have made, not just on the field, but in the locker room, it's also been reciprocated in the sense of when you know they express themselves and you know their intentions are very clear in the sense of they want what's best for the team. Well, you see that from the younger guys too. That's the expectation they've set, and that's the overall energy in the locker room that we're just doing everything we can to make sure the group as a whole is in a good spot, and it's led to where we are today.
Dynamo midfielder Coco Caraschia joining us. Coco, how competitive are the practices now, you know, with the likes of all these veterans and a new roster?
No, creo que la exigencia siempre es al máximo. Durante esta temporada ha visto mucha competitividad. Creo que todos quieren jugar y al final los que están jugando creo que quieren mantener y quieren subir su nivel y creo que eso ha sido muy importante y también los entrenamientos creo que han sido de cara a nuestro estilo de juego y a la exigencia que merecemos mostrar en los partidos. Ha sido muy importante toda la planificación durante el torneo.
They've been demanding. When you look at the roster and how you have players who have navigated starting positions, coming off the bench, I mean, everybody just wants to play. So they're leaving it all out there. I think when you come out to a session, you'll notice that in that, you know, we're not taking things lightly. We want to compete. We do it within ourselves in a healthy manner. And it's led to the results because we also approach our training sessions as if they were matches, because this is where you earn minutes on the weekend is during the training sessions. So it's at a very high level and it's one we're very proud of.
Things very much changed in the League's Cup. And part of that was Griffin Dorsey at right back, bringing additional width to the Dynamo attack. How important has his emergence been for the entire team from a tactical perspective as a right back?
No, ha sido muy importante por su estilo de juego. Creo que encajó muy bien al grupo. Creo que nos da algo diferente en el ataque y defensivamente intenta cumplir y cumple. Creo que hoy todos los jugadores están siendo importantes y qué bueno que todos hemos aportado al grupo porque ahora llegamos todos con confianza a la fase final y eso va a ser muy importante para definir partido.
Very important, Glenn, in that he's delivered on both ends of the field. I think he's also a good example of how competitive the training sessions are. He's somebody that had to earn his minutes and he did so. And now he's making a big impact. I think you can see that throughout the group and that everyone's just trying to contribute to make sure we're in a good spot. He's an excellent example of, or I guess he exemplifies that spirit that you would see at a training session.
He's Dynamo midfielder Coco Caraschia. When you arrived, Coco, it was very evident how professional you acted as a young player. You could just see, you know, this is a very focused young athlete that's highly professional in the way he goes about his work. Where did you learn that discipline and professionalism?
Yeah, creo que va un poco de cómo me crió mi padre y el ejemplo que me dieron y siempre me hablaban que si quería ser profesional y también escucho mucho a los veteranos. Cuando uno quiere ser profesional, uno tiene que ser profesional en todo momento y creo que es la manera de comportarme, que hay tiempo para todo en esta vida y creo que cuando estás en medio de la temporada hay que tratar de ser lo más profesional porque eso es al final lo que te va a dar el fruto o te va a ayudar a terminar bien la temporada y es aprendizaje de vida o más bien aprender de los que hacen las cosas bien, de los veteranos.
It's a mix, Glenn. I think it definitely starts with my parents and what they instilled in me as a young kid and just in general of how to be a good human. But then when I look at my experiences in the game and just some of the veterans and some of the things I've learned from them, I think big picture, it's definitely just kind of taking from individuals who have lived a successful life and what makes them tick and, you know, how important it is to kind of approach life in a way where you have balance as well. I think there's a time and a place for everything. Definitely when you're in the middle of a season, the goal and, you know, my priority is to take care of myself, my body, to be in a good spot for my profession. So that's my approach. My approach is just to approach everything as well as possible because I know quite a bit depends on me as well.
Coco, do you model yourself after any player around the world?
Me gusta mucho el estilo de vida o su personalidad, como es Aníbal Godoy de Nashville. Desde que llegué a la selección ya era mi jugador favorito, pero me gusta es cómo es su estilo familiar, su personalidad dentro y fuera de la cancha. Y ha sido una persona que converso mucho y siempre trato de ser como él o hacer las cosas bien que él hace.
Glenn, I have to say, Aníbal Godoy, I mean, when I first got into the national team, he was a player I admired and looked up to. So he has a good balance. When I talk about that balance, he exemplifies it in that he has a good approach into how he approaches his profession and then also his family and everything off the field as well. So definitely he'd be somebody that I have to mention in terms of somebody that I might model after or look to learn from.
Very good choice. Last one before we let you go, Coco. Any pregame ritual, superstitions, anything you do before the game to make you feel comfortable before going out there to compete?
Para mí lo más importante es siempre dormir la siesta antes de los partidos. Es lo único que diría yo que no cambiaría, pero de otro, hidratar bien, estar concentrado, visualizar un poco lo que pueda pasar, las cosas buenas, malas en el partido, pero son rutinas normales, como de estar enfocado en el partido. Pero para mí lo más importante es descansar antes de ir al partido.
I'd say the only thing that never changes is just the need to get a good nap in. There's other things that, you know, are part of the routine, and overall it is a routine, maybe not so much something superstitious. There's definitely things that I work on, whether it's my hydration, just given the heat here, focusing on my opponent, doing the scouting there. But, you know, that varies game per game and depending on what the circumstances call for. But prior to each game, I definitely have to get a good nap in.
Coco, wonderful interview. We thank you very much for your time and best of luck against Real Salt Lake on Sunday.
Thank you.
Thank you, Coco. That's Coco Carrasquilla. How about that? From the Dynamo midfielder there, that's great stuff. By the way, a big shout out to Edgar Valise for all his interpretation there, the Dynamo Communications top man. So we thank him for that as well. This interview brought to you by DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. By the way, subscribe to the podcast, Spotify, Apple, Google, or get it at ESPN975.com.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
The final segment of the night tonight here, we continue the discussion around the Houston Dynamo and Real Salt Lake in the playoffs. Again, this segment brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com or 713-CALL-NOW. You want the best in a personal injury attorney? You need one when you get in an accident. Could be car, boat, motorcycle. You want the best. It's the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. By the way, bringing soccer to the airwaves and allows us to do interviews with a man I've had the pleasure of calling games with and calling some of his games, not to date myself. He is Brian Dunsett, Apple TV, former Major League Soccer defender as well. Brian, thank you.
You're the legend, man. I've always enjoyed my time with you, Glenn.
All right. Well, I guess the real obvious question here right now is Real Salt Lake relieved simply to just be in the playoffs?
Yes, the answer is yes, they're relieved to be in the playoffs. I think it's the goal of obviously every team. That's the only kind of delineation in terms of a line of success versus failure that we have in Major League Soccer over the course of the regular season. But at the same time, it's been a weird year. I mean, a losing record at home at America First Field, and yet they, for the second time since Jason Christ left the club, they've hit 50 points. Or they, you know, they've earned over 50 points in an MLS regular season. So for a team that has, what, made the playoffs six consecutive seasons in a row, I think the idea was a top four finish. Now, they came up a little bit short. There's a couple of reasons and variables that also come into play outside of not doing well at home this season. But they took more points this year than they took last year. And so building underneath Pablo Mastroianni, ownership spends roughly around $16 million when it's all said and done since taking over about 18, 19 months ago. So there's a good feel, especially for a club that lost Paulo Ruiz, which was such a huge part of what they were doing during the Leagues Cup and right before that all-important semifinal down in Houston in the U.S. Open Cup, where they drastically had to change the way they played. They're happy that they've made the playoffs. I think they feel like they've left some of the business undone because of the way the kind of regular season, you know, made its way out. But who knows, man? It's a crapshoot when we're talking about Major League Soccer and we're talking about the play. We know who the heavyweights are, but I guess now who's the underdog? Who's kind of that feisty team that nobody wants to play?
He's Brian Dunseth, Apple TV. You hear him weekly in Major League Soccer. Okay, so that all said and done, that's great. You know better than me as a former MLS player that it's a total reset now, and it's how you are going into this second season. It happens in all playoff oriented leagues in America. So how do you see them going into the playoffs? Enough confidence, enough momentum, playing well enough?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a couple variables at play, right? You're thankful that you avoided the wild card game on Wednesday. Disappointed you didn't lock up at least the opportunity to have that second home match should the game go to three games in this opening round, which I love. It just takes me back to when you and I were a part of Major League Soccer back in the old school days, the three-game playoff series. I love that format. And you're thinking about, okay, what's going on with Justin Glad? He picked up the injury in Colorado. You've got Marcelo Silva dealing with a family issue. You have Jefferson Savarino dealing with a family issue. Chicho Rongo picked up that hamstring issue 3 weeks ago. But you showed fight and determination to get the result that you did on the road during the international break at LA Galaxy. And you beat Colorado Rapids. And there's a joke in there that everybody's beaten the Colorado Rapids this year. But you beat them four times in a calendar year in all competition. And maybe by subtraction, we're seeing some addition with Diego Luna's performances. So there's some question marks surrounding this team in terms of health and fitness. And I think that is the real big unknown for Pablo Mastroianni's side, because I think there's a good mentality in this team. I think their team kind of mimics that workman-like workhorseman. I think there's a lot of similarities between Benny Olsen and Pablo Mastroianni as former players. I think there's a lot of similarities as managers between the two. And now, and I know we'll talk about Houston, but I think you see a team that's taken on a little bit of the personality of the manager. And I think you certainly can argue that's been the case for Real Salt Lake and Pablo Mastroianni.
All right. You lose Pablo Ruiz. And I remember when that happened. And I just said to myself, you know, that's kind of Major League Soccer. You lose a key element like that, your team changes. And to absorb that loss, it's going to take something special. Now you don't have Chicho Arango potentially, right, with a hamstring.
Yeah.
So two questions. Number one, who's kind of taking the reins in your eyes as a playmaker for this team? And number two, where do we think or know Arango is with a hamstring, as we know is a tricky injury?
Yeah, I was told that Chicho Arango was close enough heading into the last game of the season that there was a feel-good factor about his availability versus Houston. Mm-hmm. And I probably should say that all of these games, if you don't have the Apple MLS subscription, these first-round games, including Houston and Real Salt Lake, will be for free. They are available for free on the Apple app. So for anyone that hasn't watched and is listening to this show, just know that that is going to be available for them. So Chicho coming back, there's a feel-good factor in there. I mean, listen, it's been a rotating cast of characters. Danny Musovski, who, by the way, took himself out of the team because he didn't get his contract. He was gone for 4 weeks. He came back. It's
nothing like, nothing like putting personal ambition above team ambition at this point of the season.
I'm just saying, like, and maybe you and I are just old school, and I know you align with me on this one. I don't even have to ask. Yeah. But, there's only certain things that you can control as an athlete. You can't control the manager's decisions too often. You can't control a sporting director or a general manager, even an owner, the opportunity to be traded or your contract negotiations. The one thing you can control is your performance. So you go out in the field, you perform, you're going to get that deal that you want. And you might get an extra $100,000 because you were made to wait and you can play hardball. But it just really chapped my hide. So then you got Rubio Rabin, who in a positive way is going away with his national team, scoring a couple goals. So at least he's not seeing significant minutes with Real Salt Lake, but getting the international calendar window where he's gotten 6 games, you know, over the course of the last 2.5 months. You've got Demir Krylock, who's always got something a little bit different. Who knows what next year looks like. And then Anderson Julio, who everyone in this league knows for the MLS After Darkers. He's kind of a Brian West type of explosiveness, getting in behind consistently of an opponent's back line. So there's different variables at play, but they're just not Chicho. Chicho's Chicho.
Just going back to Chicho and his efficiency in danger, we all know that a singular guy like that can be the difference in very well-matched teams in MLS playoffs, especially over the course of 3 games as well. Is there any update on him? Is he the kind of guy that you would feel would play injured?
He absolutely would. Listen, he's not going to be 100%. That's what we know for sure. As fit as you are and as much as you're trying to do, you know, privately, you do lose some of that game fitness. That's going to be inevitable because they have to shut him down to a certain extent. But we know, I mean, with technology these days, it's not like it was when we were playing, not in the, you know, the good old days when the dinosaurs were roaming. I mean, these are, you know, this whole PRP thing where they're, you know, shooting you in the injury spot where the tear is and how quickly can you recover and how does that speed up the process? The tech side is extraordinary. So
I need that over my body, I think.
Oh,
send one of those guys to my house. I'll take every shot they got.
And put it right back in my hip. I agree with you. I don't know where he's going to be, but I can promise you that he's going to give it a boxer's chance. He's going to step in there and throw as many punches as he possibly can. And if he tears down again, it's the off season. He doesn't have international duty to really worry about. So the risk versus reward, you most certainly, I think, are going to see him risking himself for the reward of, but you know, what does that mean for managing minutes? And now, because it's not a one-off and it's a potential 3-game series dependent upon results, how do you manage this? So there's a lot different variables at play. That's completely different than say if this game was a wild card game on Wednesday, where Houston's at home against Real Salt Lake and it's, you know, whoever wins is through.
Yeah, I think you make a great point with the 3-game series. You could rest him in the first game, give him additional time to get prepared, and then you don't play until I think the 6th.
Was it Monday?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got, you know, maybe you don't have to use him in game 1, or maybe he's got an altered role. What about, you know, if he's only got so much in him, maybe it's you bring him on when people are fatiguing later in games. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's going to be, I was saying this during the broadcast with Breitos the other day. You know, you think about the chess match And some guys are playing with checkers and some guys are playing, you know, with the chess match itself. So, you know, even when you look at that, I keep using the reference. I mean, Brian Smetzer said to me, the Seattle broadcast, he said, look at my bench. I got Nuhu Tolo coming back from international duty. I've got Obed Vargas coming back from international duty, two starters. I've got Nico Ladero off the bench. I've got Raul Ruiz Diaz off the bench. And I've got Xavier Arriaga off the bench. So, you know, how do you, what's the game give you? What does the modern game give you, especially with five substitutions, utilizing halftime, three segments that you get to bring players in? You know, who's playing with chess pieces and who's just playing with checkers when you look down at the bench and you talk about impact players to have a positive effect chasing the game and scoring goals, or a positive effect in shutting the game down and closing it up?
You make a good point with the five substitutions. It helps you absorb injury. By the way, Chuck Norris would beat you in chess with one pawn.
That's true. That's true.
I saw that the other day. That was great. Brian, thank you so much for coming on. I better call him Dunny. That's what everybody calls him. Thanks for coming on the program.
Appreciate you, my man. Thank you so much.
All right. That's Brian Dunseth. You catch him on Apple TV, former player in Major League Soccer. You certainly remember him at Real Salt Lake. That does it tonight here. DaspitLaw.com, presenting sponsor, 713-CALL-NOW. Spotify, Apple, Google. Subscribe to the podcast. It helps. You can also get it at ESPN975.com, LamontBrands.com, Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats. All the proceeds to Pediatric Cancer 501c charity, Snowdrop Foundation. Until next Tuesday night, I'm Glenn Davis. Good night, everybody.